Praise the Lord. I've heard a variety of different subjects this week, and I've really enjoyed the messages, and I believe God has spoken to us in such a wonderful way. And we have one more message, and we trust the Lord to speak to our hearts. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we'll read verses 4 through 6. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. God had brought Israel out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea, and God brought them to Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And I like that phrase. God's goal is to bring us unto himself. It's not just a piece of land, but he's the prize. He's the prize. I brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now, what an amazing promise God gave to the nation of Israel. And he's trying to draw them close to himself. He's trying to draw them near to his heart. He wants fellowship with them. He loves them. He's invested a lot in them and wanted to bring them into an inheritance. He had great plans for Israel. And he said two things. If they would do two things, God would cause them to be a peculiar treasure above all people, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Two things God said. If you will obey my voice, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, keep my covenant, which was the Ten Commandments. God says, I'll make you a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. God gave the Ten Commandments, and then the nation of Israel responded to God in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. They gave their response to God. Deuteronomy 5, verse 24 through 29. And you said, and this is God speaking. He's saying how Israel responded to him. He says, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. Now, the way that's written, you can interpret it, God speaks to man and God lives, or when God speaks to man, man lives. Take your pick. Now, therefore, why should we die? What an amazing statement. They said when God speaks to us, He says, this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. How many of you have ever known someone that died because God spoke to them? Nobody? How did Israel get this idea? Where did this concept come from? It seems they were saying at the beginning, when God speaks to man, man is quickened. And how many of you have been quickened when God spoke to you? Many. Praise God. But they said, this fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord anymore. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speak out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? And that was a lie. That was not the way it was. Go near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And this is Israel speaking to Moses. You go near. You go near to God. You go near that fire. Let's hire a pastor and put him in jeopardy, but not us. Go near and hear all the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto you, and we will hear it and do it. And the truth is, they never did. They never did. They never followed through and did what God said to them. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto you. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, we must come to know the nature of God. God wants the very best for us. God wants to do what is good for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bring us into the precious things that He has appointed for us. But Israel made a decision. They rejected hearing the voice of the Lord for themselves. Now, I know this from experience. When God speaks to you, there's power in His voice. There's power that comes when God speaks to us. And that power enables us to do what God is asking us to do. Israel didn't do what God asked them to do through the mouth of Moses because they did not have the power to fulfill what God did. They forsook the grace of God that they could overcome and be victorious. They forsook that grace. And as you look through Scripture, there's essentially, there could be many things we could point out that were problems, but essentially, they missed it when they rejected hearing God's voice when He spoke to them and obeying that voice. And the amazing thing is, this truth is repeated over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. It's amazing how often it's referred to. And God reminding them why they were not able to possess their inheritance and come into those things God appointed for them, because they would not respond to the voice of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 and 2, "And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God." God was speaking over and over again the importance of them responding when God spoke to them. Now, I want to bring us to the situation of Israel, because I don't think God's heart has changed. I think he continues to desire to speak to man. And God knows the power in his voice. He knows that there will be grace that flows through his lips, through his words, that will enable us to fulfill everything he speaks to us. What will we do? What do we do? Do we always respond when God speaks to us? Israel failed. That generation did not enter into the promises that God had given to Abraham, and in general, the nation of Israel ultimately was rejected, even though God had been faithful to do everything he said he would do. But they were rejected, and God appointed the church. Now, the decision's in our hands, so to speak. What are we going to do? We know with the nation of Israel, they went, and God knew that, and he's forewarning them what will happen in Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 through 3, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you," and God told them what would happen if they didn't obey his voice, "the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and shall return unto the Lord your God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that then the Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." He warned them what had happened. He told them what would take place if they didn't obey his voice. He told them the curses that would come upon them. But he says, if when you're in your enemy's lands, if you'll turn and come and begin to respond when I speak to you, he says, then I'll restore you. And so God is giving them another opportunity. And how many of you have found that God's given you a number of opportunities to learn, to know his voice and understand that it is him that's talking to you? How many of you have experienced that? Isn't God so wonderful? He's so kind to us. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice. See, this was a big issue in God's mind. Maybe it's not in our mind, but it's a big issue in God's mind. That you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. God made promises to Abraham, and the reason is because Abraham obeyed the voice of the Lord God. And God made him a promise. Took years to fulfill it, but he gave them a wonderful promise. And God wants us to understand that everything he wants to do in our life, in some measure, is dependent upon whether or not we will obey his voice when he speaks to us. Israel lost it on that point, and they lost everything. And God wants us to know that it's very important. And there are times when God speaks to us. We hear what he speaks. We understand it's God. We know what he's asking of us, but we don't want to do it. And it can be fatal. It can be fatal. I love this scripture in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. God had come to King Solomon after he was anointed to be king. And he asked him to make a wish. He asked him to tell God what he wanted. He could choose. And Solomon's response was, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And that phrase, an understanding heart, is literally, give me a hearing heart. David and Bathsheba had instructed Solomon for many years. They were preparing him to reign as king, and they invested in him the understanding that the most important thing he could have was a heart that would hear the voice of the Lord and receive instruction as God spoke to him. And God promised to give that to him. And it caused him to excel as a king. He was known around the world of that day because of the majesty and the glory that God caused to come upon him. He gained riches beyond imagination and honor, and God's hand was mightily upon him because he received an understanding heart, or a hearing heart. And for a time, he obeyed the voice of the Lord. However, when it came to marriage, he was a little confused about things. Now, Israel's ongoing problem was rejecting the voice of the Lord when he spoke to them. This theme goes on in the book of Jeremiah a number of times. Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." What an indictment against them. In Jeremiah 22 and 21, "I spoke unto you in your prosperity. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you obeyed not my voice." Oh, I want to learn from their mistake, don't you? I want to learn from their mistake. I don't want to refuse when God speaks. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 10 and 11, neither Daniel's praying and he says, "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him." See, Daniel recognized the issue as God began to speak to them, him about them returning, and Daniel begins praying and crying out to God for the restoration of Israel from bondage. And he recognized that same issue. Now, we mentioned Abraham before. We know that when God spoke to Abraham, he responded to God, and God had respect for Abraham. In Genesis 22 and verse 16 through 18, "And he said, By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son." This was the matter of laying Isaac on the offering and essentially following through to offer him as a sacrifice. He says, "Because you've not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." That's what God appointed Israel to do, was to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Now, we're the seed of Abraham, and God has intended the church to bless all the nations of the earth. Pastor Bailey was correct in saying there must be a Zion school in every nation of the earth. It's scriptural. Every nation, bless every nation. Amen? And God wants us to have that vision before us that we will bless every nation on earth. Now, there's a number of us in Zion Fellowship that go to nations, but there's more nations than there is of us. We need more people to cover the nations of the earth. And I want to put that before you. Maybe you can't go, but maybe God will raise up, if you train your children in the ways of the Lord and teach them to love the Lord and to keep His laws and obey Him, maybe your children will fulfill that. We trust so. Amen? Hallelujah. And I know a good Bible school they can go to get ready for that. But God wants to bless all the nations of the earth. And God said it was because Abraham obeyed His voice that He would make it possible. Now, the nation of Israel didn't do that. But we're the seed of Abraham, aren't we? We are the seed of Abraham by faith. God wants us to bless the nations of the earth. Just write that down in your notes or in your Bible, that God wants you to bless the nations of the earth. And then start holding that before the Lord every day. Lord, show me how You want me to bless the nations of the earth. Many of you may be used right in your prayer closet to bless the nations of the earth. You may need to get a map or a list to pray for them all. But you can bless the nations of the earth. Others will go to the nations of the earth and teach. Others will prepare materials to send to the nations of the earth. Recently, we've had several nations, and we're preparing materials to send to them to start Bible schools in those nations. In a couple weeks, my wife and I will be going to Cairo to start training teachers for the Bible school in Cairo that will service 22 Arabic-speaking nations. We've got an invitation from a group in Indonesia. Now, Pastor Paul Karam has ministered in Indonesia for years, and there's a wonderful, wonderful blessing in that land because of it. But there's others that have not been reached yet. And we've got an invitation from another group. Send us materials. We want to start a school. We want to start a school. And we thank God for that. But it's taking us, in some cases, years to get these schools underway. God wants to do something to speed that up, I'm sure. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 30 and 31, we have a recount of the life of Moses. And when 40 years were expired, that is his training in the wilderness. He had been trained in Egypt for 40 years, but now he's in the wilderness and being trained to lead Israel into their inheritance. And when the 40 years were expired, sometimes in training you think there is no expiration date. How many of you have felt that way? It happens, doesn't it? But there was an expiration date for Moses. God had a time when he placed him right into those things he had appointed him for. And it goes on, and there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him. How did Moses lead that group of people? And they weren't exactly an easy group to lead. How did he do it? He heard from the Lord. He heard from the Lord. He had to hear from God. And God wants us to know God has something to do for all of us. And how are we going to fulfill it? It's going to be as we hear God speak to us and we obey what he says to us. We can't forsake that and fulfill the purpose of God. God respected the Levites, the tribe of Levi. The Levites respected God above everyone else. They were willing to obey him no matter what. This was the reason that the Lord respected the tribe of Levi. That's why he called them and made them his priests. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear of the Lord, wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. I don't take it lightly when God speaks to me. I fear the Lord. I've had times that the Lord has said some things that were very difficult, and I says, Lord, I don't think I can do that. But I fear God, and I thank God for the fear of the Lord. But God noted that in the tribe of Levi. And he goes on, and he was afraid before my name, and the law of truth was in his mouth, and his iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. The word iniquity is essentially lawlessness. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And God wants those of us called to ministries of caring for God's people to seek the law at his mouth. Lord, what do you have to say about this matter? What is your judgment in this matter? What is your sentence? I have to pray that many times, many times. When Saul of Tarsus was taken to Ananias after he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus. In Acts 22 and verse 14, he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. This is Ananias speaking to Saul. The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. The same thing God was speaking to the nation of Israel. Saul had to obey what God spoke to him, and he did it. He did it. And the wonderful thing is, at the end of his journey, he won Christ. He won Christ. I want to win Christ. So we have this admonition in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. This is New Testament. It's relevant today. It's not for someone else. It's for us. Amen? Well, it's for others too, but it's for us tonight. This is relevant to us tonight. Hebrews 12, verse 25 through 29. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but heaven also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And we know there's a shaking coming on the earth, don't we? We sense it. The earth is travailing under the wickedness that fills it. And God's going to shake the earth so that only those things that can remain will remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Israel knew that. They experienced that consuming fire when God spoke to them. And that's what they were speaking to God and saying, we can't take that fire. But that fire is with us today. That fire is still trying what can remain and what cannot. In Job 23 and verse 12, Job declared, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, and food's not in the original. We could say more than my necessities. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessities. No wonder Job was in such a position with God. No wonder God took such time and led Job through fiery trials to perfect him. Because Job loved the words of God's mouth even more than his necessities. Thank God. Now in John chapter 18 and verse 37, Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. The nation of Israel was not of the truth. They rejected hearing the voice of the Lord. They could not enter into the purposes of God. They died in the wilderness, that generation. And God had to raise up others, but they continued in their ways. Even after God led a generation into the promises, King David, who would always consult God and wait for God to speak to him, finally led them into the fullness of their inheritance. When they defeated the Jebusites and took Mount Zion. But the generations following, even though God blessed the nation of Israel so mightily, and in the days of Solomon, we spoke about the glory of that kingdom, yet they turned aside to other gods. They rejected hearing the voice of the Lord. Now, we've already heard an account of what I'm going to share with you next, but I'm sharing the northern version. I'm going to share the northern version of Hurricane Irma. I met Hurricane Irma too. On Friday, September 8th, 2017, I was up in the night sometime, I don't remember when. I was waiting on the Lord and praying for different people. And I began to have concern for our loved ones in Clearwater, Florida. The reports were on the news about the hurricane moving from the Caribbean to Florida. And at that time, it was forecast that it was going to go north on the east coast of Florida. I just asked the Lord if he had any direction for those in Clearwater. I was concerned for them. I was praying for them, and I asked the Lord, "Lord, do you have anything to say?" And the Lord spoke to me, "Their strength is to sit still." Now, that word from the Lord became a thorn in the flesh to a number of people who vehemently advised them to get out of Florida as quick as possible. Now, I couldn't remember where that verse was from. I never memorized that in Sunday school as a child. And I couldn't remember where it was. I knew it was a scripture, but I didn't know where. So I looked it up, and it's Isaiah 30, verse 7. And it's, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain." The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. And I says, "Well, thank you, Lord." And then later, sometime that day, I think in the morning, I received a call from Pastor Daniel Humphreys. And he said, "Do you have anything from the Lord concerning this hurricane?" The weather reports and all of that are advising us to get out of here. All kinds of people are calling us and advising us to leave Florida. And he says, "Do you have any advice?" And I says, "Well, this morning I was waiting on the Lord and I just asked him about the hurricane and he said, their strength is to sit still." But I said, "You should check that out. Check it out with the Lord. You test it. You know, we want to be sure that we're hearing the voice of the Lord. Sometimes there's a deceiver running around that wants to make us think something is of the Lord and it's not his voice. But I told them to check it out. And Daniel and Sarah were quickened with Psalm 121, verse 1 through 3. And then later, Jason and Ashley Gohl, who are also in their congregation, gave me a call and shared that God had spoken to them Psalm 46, 1 through 3. And so I encouraged them and I said, you be very sure, you be very clear. Now, as I said before, the Humphreys received many calls from Christian friends warning them to get out as soon as possible before the hurricane hit their area. The Humphreys and the Goals felt the word of the Lord was given, and they were to obey what God had spoken to them. Now, one of the other things that Pastor Daniel expressed to me was concerning his wife's parents. They live in that area, but his wife's mother has physical problems and needs electricity to run machines that help her. And they were quite sure they would lose their electricity, which happened. And they said, do you have any feelings about the Manwarings, whether they should stay or leave? And I says, oh, definitely they should leave. And so they left that morning, wasn't it? They left that morning and went up to somewhere else. Did the hurricane end up there where they were? No, good. Thank God. But the amazing thing was, I checked with Daniel later how things went as the hurricane proceeded through the area, or part of the area. And I asked how his in-laws were. And he says they left. And he says the amazing thing is that where he parked his car on their property, a tree has fallen down and is in the place where their car would have been had they stayed. So God saved their car. I mean, how kind of God. Cars are kind of a temporary thing. They don't last that long. But God was so kind to them. God gave direction. He wanted to speak. He wanted to make things clear. When they inquired of the Lord, God made things clear to them. On Sunday, the prediction was that Irma would come up the west coast of Florida on Sunday night to Monday morning. The winds were very strong, but there was no damage to their homes. The Humphreys' yard fence was damaged, but those of you that were here yesterday heard Pastor Daniel share the story how God rebuilt his fence, provided for the rebuilding of his fence, when those materials were not available at Lowe's or whoever else. God was concerned and made everything up to them. Thank God. And they had a neighbor with a generator that even supplied them with some electricity, thank God. Now, what is the point of all this? You heard that yesterday, and some of you maybe weren't here, but this is from my point of view. I asked God for a word, and then Pastor Daniel asked if I had a word. God was so gracious to give a word. But the word God gave me didn't fit with the forecaster's word. And I was praying for them. I said, Lord, if they don't believe what I've told them, which is what you told me, I can understand. But Lord, help them to obey for their own good. Help them to obey for their own good. Because you spoke that for good. But after this was all over, the Lord spoke to me that he had arranged the whole incident. Now, if you want to know why this hurricane came, this is the reason. He arranged this whole incident to show us and others that if we will hear and obey his voice, now and in difficult tribulation times ahead, he will preserve us and he will show us his great power and glory. God wants to prepare us for what's coming on the earth. Have you had thoughts or terrorism thinking about what's coming on the earth in the days ahead? God wants to remove that from our thinking, from our hearts. He wants to cause us to have the peace of God. He wants to train us now through different things we're going to pass through so that when the greater pressures, the tribulation, the greater pressures that are coming on the earth in the days ahead, and they're increasing all the time. I live under more pressure than my father lived under. And we all understand that. But they're going to increase. But God is arranging circumstances for us to pass through. And they may be very different for each one of us. But he's arranging these circumstances to train us so that we are ready for the days ahead. And the basic training is in the realm of hearing and knowing God's voice speaking to us. It's still the same issue. It's hearing God's voice and responding when he speaks to us. Being trained that when God speaks, we have the fear of God and we respond when God says it. We check it out. We make sure that it's authentic, that it's the Lord, and God can confirm his word to us. But he wants us to be prepared for the days ahead. And he wants to show us his power and his majesty in the days ahead. Dad Bailey, at different times, from my Bible school days until the day he left the earth, had shared different times visions God had given him of the things that are coming on the earth. There are glorious, glorious things that I don't even think we can imagine that God's going to do. I think it's going to far excel our imaginations. And there's going to be trouble. It's coming in a time of trouble. There's no question about that. But I believe God wants us to be prepared so that we hear his voice, we know how he wants us to respond, and we have been trained to do it. Now, there's one other thing I want to tie to this. Sometime in August, I don't remember the date of it now, this year, I had a small sliver of wood that went into my hand, in between two fingers. And it didn't hardly hurt. I mean, I felt something was there, but my wife is good at small surgeries. So she removed that sliver out of my hand and, you know, did all the right medical things, treated it with antiseptic and all that. Well, after a time, my hand started hurting like I've never had it hurt before. And it started swelling and it got really fat. And it turned dark red. And that was painful, but that was nothing compared to what was coming. I had a high fever. And in that high fever, I came to a place I didn't know I existed. I had no sense of what was going on. My wife shared with me later after I came out of it and told me some of the crazy things that happened. And it's a hilarious story. It really is. My wife says not hilarious, but it is when I heard some of the things that happened. And what I found out was I had cellulitis develop in my hand. Now, I had never heard of it before, but my wife had heard of it, and we've since heard of other people that have had it, in Zion Fellowship even. And it can kill you if you let it go. It really is a treacherous thing. I was taken to the hospital, and they put me on 3 days of antibiotic to start bringing this swelling down and bring my fever down. And when my fever was lowered, it's an amazing thing. My wife said when I was taken into emergency, I was singing to the Lord. Now, usually when I go into emergency and I know what's going on, I try not to sing too loud if I'm worshiping the Lord because I don't want to disturb other people. But she's telling me about it. It must have been hilarious. And then after, you know, I began to get my senses back, the fever lowered and so forth, and I knew who I was. On two occasions, at least, God spoke to me. And, you know, I'm looking at my hand and I say, Lord, why is all this happening? And the Lord spoke to me and says, this is for your good. This is good? And the Lord repeated, this is for your good. I'm going to use this for your benefit. And I says, okay, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. So, I've been waiting since mid-August to find out, Lord, what's the purpose? I don't see any good out of it, come out of it yet. And just recently, I think it was maybe late part of last week, I said, Lord, what is your purpose for this whole incident? And the Lord said, I want to release healing in a new way among my people. I want to loose healing in a new way among my people. And, you know, suddenly I'm aware of how important divine healing really is. And God wants to, I believe, meet us more and more. We thank God for the medical profession and all that, but I think more and more God wants to meet us with divine healing. And I want to put before you tonight this thought of the importance of hearing the voice of the Lord and responding to Him, obeying Him, because He's preparing us for the days ahead. I like the name of this book that missionaries use overseas. It's called Where There Is No Doctor. Well, that's a good title, but I think they could add on to it, Where There Is Jesus the Healer. And I believe He wants us to experience His divine power and healing. And tonight, we're going to just sing a chorus, and then if there are those that need healing, and we're not going to make a line or anything like that, we're just going to let you come up front. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to heal those that need to be healed. Let's stand together, shall we? And let's prepare our hearts. Lord, if You want to do something special tonight, we say amen to it. If You want it to be another time, we'll wait upon You. Cause us to hear Your voice.